Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Elder Pokonsi, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, my sir. How are you?
Very well. When am I elder? Lindsay Juang Mara, that side.
No, all by God's grace, we are kept. Thank you very much.
You know, we are talking about the 6 days to make the world. I think that's the topic of the lesson this afternoon. And it's actually deep. It's a deep dive into the creation week. I want to talk about the 6 days of creation and why God changed his method of creation when it came to humanity. So we're going to be allowing you to take us through. How long did God decide he would take to make our world?
Thank you very much for the question. Actually, the entire authenticity of the Bible is built on creation. And there are, of course, beliefs out there, even Christians who believe that it actually took God billions of years to create the heavens and the earth. But, you know, if you read scriptures, they are very clear. You know, we are told that the heavens and the earth, you know, were finished within 6 days. So anyone who actually proves that creation is false will basically be debunking God's existence, will be debunking the whole Christian movement beliefs, and also debunking the power of God. Isaiah 45 verse 18 tells us that, "For thus says the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain, and he formed it to be inhabited. And it further says, I am the Lord, and there is none else." So for God to say, "I am the Lord," you know, no one can able to match his power. No one is able to match his divinity. If he had chosen, he would have chosen to create the world in just a moment. He would have just chosen to create the world in just a second. But we see that the plan of which he followed, you know, it is so distinct that each created element per day is dependent on the previous created element. How so? In day one, we are told that he created light, you know, and God said, "Let there be light." Just in Genesis 1, verse 1 to 2, you know, we see God creating earth, space, time, and light. And day two, he creates the sky and the waters, and he separates the waters. And we see that day two is dependent on day one. In day three, he creates the lands and the seas, you know, and he gathers the waters. Of course, he separated the waters, then he gathers the waters. So day three is dependent on day two. And so for day four, we learn that he created the sun, the moon, and the stars to govern the day and the night and to mark seasons, days, and years. In day five, we know he created the fish and the birds to fill the waters and the skies. So he makes space, you know, he creates like a home prior filling something. I don't know if it makes sense, you know. You know, he did not create the fish and the birds without the sky and the waters, right? So he makes home at first for those animals, right? So in day six, we told that he created the animals as to fill the earth, and also he created man and woman. He decided not to create man and woman prior creating the light, the sky and the waters, the land and the seas. But we see on how each and every element in creation is dependent on each other, you know. So in God creating the heavens and the earth, it only took him 6 literal days. And the scriptures are so clear, you know, when it says that the evening and the mornings were the first day, the evening and the mornings were the second day. You know, so to those who claim that it took him 7,000 years, you know, to create the heavens and the earth, or 7 billion years to create the heavens and the earth, you know, there's the postulates here of evolution, you know, which have been debunked by science itself, because science should be built on observation of data. Science should be built on analyzing of data. And in all that false science, evolution science is built on, it is basically built on nothing for which you cannot prove anything. You know, just to continue, you know, the oldest tree on Earth is actually 6,000 years old. You know, and just by the tree itself, you know, we even using carbon dating, you know, you'll never find a tree that exceeds even, you know, 10,000 years, you know. So by it itself, it just shows that the Earth is 6,000 years younger, you know, about 6,000 years, and not 6 billion years, or God having created the heavens and the earth for more than 6,000 years. So we appreciate God's creation, and we learn something, you know, even how orderly he created the heavens and the earth. And that's for our lesson, that we need to plan in life. And that's for our lesson, that God took time, you know, not for our behalf, you know, and to prepare a home for us. He who is divine took time for man, you know, to such that when he got to man, he did not say, he did not speak a word and man was there, but he took time, you know, he said, let us make man in our own image, you know. And he took time in the creation of man. He molded man from the dust. He breathed into his nostrils. You know, so it shows how special we are as mankind.
Now, isn't 6 days, though, quite a long time to be speaking? Because clearly, I mean, he could spend a couple of hours to create. I mean, he said, let there be, let there be, let there be. And I mean, it could have taken a few hours. Why stretch it to so long?
You know, the beauty of it all, you know, is the Sabbath. the goal is the Sabbath. That's the best I can answer you.
Okay.
You know, and hence Christ said, for the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is actually a gift for man. You know, so just by analyzing and looking deep into the Sabbath, it's a day of relationship, you know. And the Sabbath, it points to creation as God who is the creator of the heavens and the earth of 6 days. You know, so the best possible, you know, position to answer why he took time, you know, in those 6 days, you know, the focus was the Sabbath, you know, whereas he sanctified it and blessed it and made it holy, you know. So it's all about appreciating God, you know. Every time we enter into the Sabbath day, it's all about looking back and say, surely God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And besides that, you know, having said that, we learn of a God who is orderly, you know, we learn of a God who takes time, you know, in doing things and perfecting things, you know, to such that even having created something in each day, he will look into the day and say, it is good, you know. And having said that, it's for our lessons to learn also, you know, the art of planning, you know, create everything in the scriptures. It's for our learning. Does it make sense?
I get you.
If God would, as you said, God would have chosen to just say, let there be the earth and the moon and the stars all in one day. But what would we have learned in planning? What values, what lessons do we get as people, you know, in planning, you know? So, because in each, whenever we plan, You know, we separate, you know, and we fail. That's the best way of coming to a point where you plan an action and achieve something in life. You know, you separate and you fail and you get it right. You know, all education is built on separation and failing. You know, be it math, you need to separate. You know, be it science, you need to separate and analyze and fail. So we see the standard and model, you know, whereas we need to grasp for our learning. You know, so there's many lessons to learn, even in creation, on how God decided to plan and action something. And that is for our learning. So everything that God did was for our learning.
Now, he speaks things into existence, and 5 days he wakes up in the morning, or he doesn't wake up because they say he doesn't sleep. So the morning gets there, and he speaks other things to in existence until he gets to day five. Day six, he changes his approach. After speaking everything into existence, he decides to change his formula. Why do you think was the reason for changing that formula?
It's to show the uniqueness of man. It's to show how special we are compared to creation. It's to show how valuable we are before God. We will never know our value, you know, up until we get to heaven and to see how valuable we are. You know, to such that God, you know, in the form of Christ, he stepped down to become man like me and you, and taking on the form of flesh and blood for eternal ages. If you read Desire of Ages, page 55, and that's for eternal ages. You know, God would have chosen to say, oh, men have sinned, let us choose another, let's just create another mankind. But no, there was a plan that has been set, you know, to save man from his misery, to save man from sin, to save man from the state, you know, state of destruction, you know, so to such that God was willing to let go of his divinity, you know, to risk his divinity, you know, and let go of who he is, you know, just simply for mankind, you know. So as me and you, Brother Zama, we can never know how valuable we are and precious before God. You know, even angels, they are filled with awe on what is so special about man to such that God became man. You know, so God in Genesis 1 verse 26, he says, let us create man in our own image, you know, and in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Isaiah 43 verse 7 says, even man have I created in my own glory, man have I created in my character. We know that the word glory means character, you know. So one thing about man, if you look at all created elements, and man composes all created elements. If you look at the mountain, what aspect of God do we learn by looking at the mountain? We learn the aspect of strength. If you look at the seas, what aspect of God that we learn? We learn of what? God's vastness. If you look at the flower, what aspect of God do we learn? We learn how fragile and beautiful God is. He is tender, you know. So in all created aspects or elements, you know, in creation, man composes all characteristics of created elements. So when God said, let us create man in our own image, he created an embodiment so he created a man who will embody, you know, all characteristics of nature. You know, so that's how how unique we are, to such that we can surely be like God, even amidst living in this sinful world. You know, God has made it possible that we can be perfect as he is perfect. Hence Christ says, be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. And how do we do that? You know, by dying self, by being born again, by living a life new in Christ Jesus, And that's by glorifying God. You know, the man who is old needs to be done away to such that the glory of God be the one that be manifested. You become more loving. You become more kind. You become more patient. You become more caring. You become more, you know, the fruits of the Spirit itself in both, basically identify who God is in detail, in a nutshell.
Yeah. Beautiful one, man. Beautiful one. Well, but before I let you go, God creates this human being, as you say, because it's different and unique and all of that thing. What's the crowning what's the crowning element in that masterpiece of human that God created?
Sorry, I didn't get the question.
You're saying that he made man, but different to how he spoke the world into existence, which means that we special, we made in the image of God. What makes us exactly special? Is it because we're made in God's image?
Exactly, we've been made in God's image, and just by studying a human being, we see the master design. We see that there's no chance and time, you know, in man, but everything was well prepared. The 12 systems in a human system, in studying physiology and anatomy, you can see the handiworks of God, which by itself it disproves the postulates of evolution. You know, other types of evolutions, that life comes from non-life, you know, which itself it is debunked, you know, and that man is by time and chance, which in itself is debunked, and that all life forms comes from a single cell, it is debunked, you know, you need to have a complex life to have life. Life itself is valuable. Life itself is precious. Life itself is expensive. And for the purpose of having something that is, we cannot explain, which is the breath of life in our nostrils, no man is able to create life.
Yeah.
It shows that there is a master designer. It shows that there must be a designer. It shows forth that simply by having life, there is a purpose of living, and we all each respectfully need to find why have I been created in this world? Why did God choose for me to be in this world? What's so special about my life? And in order to know what's so special about your life, go back to the master designer. Go back and ask him, why have you created me to be in this world? I see that my life is may look or seem valueless. May seem not important, you know. Go back to the master designer and ask him, why have I been created? What is there to live for? You know, given that we all have life, the heart of life is a life of service. You know, once you give service, you find fulfillment in life. Service in any other form, there is fulfillment and there is joy, and you see the purpose of living in life or under this earth. Evolution doesn't discredit purposeful life, because we are here by time and chance. So what's the point of living?
Mm-hmm.
But with creation science, it shows why we need to live.
Yeah.
And we need to live as to be happy people, happy beings under the sun.
Beautiful. I like that we are supposed to be happy people, happy beings under the sun. And that's a good point to leave it at. My elder, I must thank you so much for your time. A blessings to you, and
God
a great evening
you.
Ahead.
And the listeners, thank you very much.
Thank you so
Bye.
Much. Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.